Hello, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Justine.
And this is the Cozy Co-op, a podcast where a games journalist and a creative writer talk about video games. Hi, Justine.
Hi, Brandon.
So, people actually looking at the numbers, this is the first episode of our new experimental podcast idea, and we're going to be starting it out with Stardew Valley.
That game is very close to my heart because I did spend a very solid amount of time playing it.
I've played a lot too. Not as much recently, like I got more into it when it was back started. But before we actually dive into that, let us dive into some of the news recently. I'm going to tell you about some news articles I've written about, and I want to get your input on them, okay?
Okay.
So last Friday, who is it? Konami? Yes, Konami. They announced a port of the most recent Bomberman game, Super Bomberman R, that would be coming to Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. It used to only be on Switch. And with it comes like cool new skins that you can see here, but they can't because this is an audio format. Any thoughts?
I actually do not know. I've never heard of Bomberman.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's gonna be part of our shtick on this show is our video games journalist that's... clearly knows everything about video games and the creative writer does not. I can just glean what I can from stuff I've already seen.
Well, later in life, I will definitely have you play Bomberman 64.
Okay,
that is a childhood heart. Other thing we got is EVE Online, the strategy space whatever game.
I do know about that one.
The tribute?
Yeah.
So, for people listening in the future, Stephen Hawking, the scientist, recently passed away. And to serve as a tribute to this, many players in EVE Online are dropping what are known as Cyanthral? That's not a good word for a lisp. Cyanthral beacons to illuminate the space around it. Because these beacons, they glow brightly. They're normally used as teleportation methods. Like, if you want to just ambush a guy, you drop a beacon and everyone teleports to it. But right now, they're being used for passive reasons.
I think that word is cynocyral.
Cynocyral?
Yeah. I don't know what it means, but...
Something about a cynocyral infection?
No!
And then, more recently, Sega announced Sonic Mania Plus. Do you have any?
I never played Sonic.
Okay.
My brother
I see how
did.
This is going
my
so far.
My brother played Sonic computer games.
Well, Sonic Mania was a fan-made creation that was approved by Sega. And people loved it because it was a very well-made throwback to like classic Sonic games. It had the retro graphics, had the 2D style. Sonic Mania Plus is like a definitive edition type deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it means it's also getting a physical release, which is uncommon. It includes two new characters, Mighty the Armadillo and Ray the Flying Squirrel.
Okay.
The last time people saw these was in 1993 with the Sonic arcade game,
dang.
Sega Sonic. They are deep digs to a new character. I knew about Mighty. I didn't know about Ray.
See, the most familiar I am with Sonic is not necessarily the games. It's the fan fiction and fan art and stuff.
Which is something our
listeners are going to find is a lot of the case. My familiarity is through the fandom. But also that one Sonic... video game that you put in your car so that you could just listen to the soundtrack.
Oh, right.
We got at the thrift store.
Okay, so I was at the thrift store and we found the Windows 94 or whatever disc for Sonic CD. And the cool thing about regular PC-ROM discs back then is you could put them in a CD player and they'd just play the soundtrack. So I haven't actually played Sonic CD. I just took the Sonic CD disc, put it in my car stereo, and I drive... sometimes to Sonic music.
Do you have a disk drive in your new computer?
Yes, I do.
You could probably play it now.
I could.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't want to take it out of my car.
Okay.
A new Sonic game had been teased. Or Sonic Racing game. I need to be more specific. I've not cared about Sonic Racing games in the past.
Yeah.
But this one kind of has me excited. It was just a well-made teaser trailer.
Okay.
I'll probably link to all of this relevant info in the show notes. Final bit of news. Paragon assets are going to be free. Now, Paragon was a MOBA that was made by Epic Games. Do you know any of those words?
No.
Okay, MOBA, multiplayer online battle arena. It is those games where it's like a top-down strategy game.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Very
yes.
League of Legends,
yes.
Dota. Those are MOBAs. Epic Games is a well-known developer. They made things like, I think it was Epic that made Gears of War. Well, they were making their own MOBA called Paragon. But I can't remember exactly why, the project didn't see itself to launch. It failed. So to kind of help commemorate what it would have been, Epic Games has released all of the character assets from Paragon to the Unreal Development Marketplace for free.
Cool.
Which means models, textures, sounds, animations, literally everything you can just download and do stuff with. Now, this would probably be cooler if I cared or knew about any of the characters, but since the game never came out, I can't be bothered. There will be porn of it.
Yeah.
I see the women characters in here, and like, yeah, some of the guys are hot, apparently.
There's like a badger-looking thing.
I think it's a cat.
Okay.
It might be a dog. His name's Howitzer.
Okay.
Which is a clever name, because like it's an artillery form.
Yeah,
but it's also a cool name for like a cat.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all the news.
Can we talk about Stardew Valley now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to go first then?
As long as you bring up our show notes. So, as you guys can probably guess by now, I'm not... Oh my god.
Don't mind that. They don't know about this.
Okay.
The audience is unaware. Just keep talking. I did not spill my coffee on myself.
Yeah,
very slowly.
But I'm not a huge video games fan in general. I will get into... If I get into a video game, I will just end up playing the same three or four. So, like, you know, a big list with me is probably a lot of BioWare games. I'll just keep going back to those instead of discovering new games. And a genre of video games that I really, really like is RPGs. So, like, when you are a character and you're doing a story kind of thing. So, I was not intending to get as into Stardew Valley as I ended up being, because I was like, okay, it's a farming simulator. It's, would you call that 8-bit?
No.
Pixel art. Pixel art. And I just didn't think I was going to get all that into it, except that it is a very extremely charming game. I mean, it's all very nice. And this is at a point where I had been playing Animal Crossing as well. And I ended up liking Stardew Valley better because I felt like it was too stressful trying to keep up with everybody in Animal Crossing. But in Stardew Valley, you can just kind of go at your own pace and the day isn't dependent on real time. It did stress me out at first that the days went by so quickly, but once you figure out how the game works, it ends up not being a problem.
I always found that funny because, like, yeah, when you start out the game, you have so little you have to do because you just haven't really opened up everything that's available to you. And yet you're still sitting there going, how can I water my 8 turnips and also talk to Carolyn?
Well, initially my problem with it was I didn't know anything about this game and there aren't any tutorials, which, like, I'm dependent on tutorials to figure out what's going on. There's so much to Stardew Valley that you would just be... Like, the first week would be nothing but tutorials. And my issue was I wanted time to explore. But every time I got, you know, so far away from my house, it would just get dark. And I didn't know where anything was. I kept getting lost. Which is funny to say now. There's, like, really no way to get lost in this game, but...
You have a very simple map. I mean, you have a map, even.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't really... I don't know, it didn't help at first. I had to really kind of run around a lot, do a lot of trial and error. But the one thing I really do like about this game is its deceptive simplicity. Is, you know, you go into it and...
You've been sitting on that word.
It is a farming simulator. So you think, okay, I'm going to grow turnips and I'm going to take care of some chickens and...
I'll get the chicken.
Just kind of support the entire economy of Stardew Valley by myself.
Make some cheese.
And Pelican Town and stuff.
Who do you sell your stuff to?
I sell my crops to Pierre. And I sell any like stuff that I mine and don't need to Clint. And when I ended up having a surplus of stone and wood, I went to Robin, and all my fish I sold to Willie. I rarely ever used the market box unless, like, I couldn't find anyone to buy it.
I was gonna say, you do, like, you go out of your way to sell to the appropriate people. I just threw everything in that box, and I'm realizing I don't know where that box goes.
Mayor Lewis picks it up, and then I think he takes it to Pierre.
Oh, really? I was hoping for something cooler. Like, right. I go out of town every day to deliver your goods.
But, yeah, that was another thing, was a lot of mechanics in this game are very subtle. Like, you can sell to each individual vendor, or you can throw everything into a market box and just be done with it. But I looked into that to see, And I know you're going to kind of talk about this later about how much you have to look up. Mm-hmm. But I looked into what is the difference between selling there and selling in the market box. And there's a couple of things. And I know I'm getting into the mechanics now, which is your area, but...
Hey, if you know them, go ahead.
The market box, anything you put in there goes towards if you want to get the achievement for having sold, like, or collected all of the items in the game, it will track it through the market box. So anything you put in there goes towards your total. So I've basically completed the game, but I have, like, almost none of that filled in because I never use the market box. And the other difference is some people have said that gold star items sell for higher at the vendors than they do in the market box. And that's probably because everything kind of gets lumped together.
Oh, I see. So, like, it doesn't matter if it's gold star or regular star, you're just going to get paid for a turnip.
Right. So, I think that's how that goes. So,
can you actually grow turnips? I know you can get parsnips.
No. Well, no. You can do beets.
Because, like, turnips are a more Eastern thing, and this is a Western-made game.
So, what I was saying about the deceptive simplicity is you go into it thinking it's just a farming game, you're just going to go farm. But there is story here. And the main story is a decision between Joja Corporation and...
Oh, we should... You start the game working at a cubicle space for an organization called Joja Corp.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a parody of places like Walmart, Amazon, and whatnot. You get a letter saying that you've inherited your farm from your grandfather, I think?
Yes.
Which is what prompts you to move over to this farm and start out this new farming life. Continue.
So... The main story of this is you kind of have a choice between the simpler small town life or continuing to support this big corporation. And to me, you know, this is very, very, very common in video games where they want you to, you know, choose a side and whatnot, is it ends up not really being a choice. They just kind of give you the illusion of choice. But I mean, the initial cutscene that shows your character working for Joja Corporation is a pretty miserable one. Everyone's kind of their computer monkey, you know, kind of thing, and nobody looks happy. And...
I believe one person was literally a skeleton.
Yeah, and it really, I mean, you look at it and you go, this is miserable.
Yeah,
but...
very Chinese work factory kind of vibes.
Right.
One big window watching the workers.
The entire point of going to this farm is, you know, your grandfather says there's going to be a day when you are just very done with this kind of life. And that is that day that you see in the cutscene is when you go in and you think, I can't do this anymore. You pull out the deed and you're like, okay, I'm going to go to this farm and try my luck there. And the opposing option to supporting Joja Corporation is Mayor Lewis of Pelican Town introduces you to the old rundown community center that hasn't been opened. He's got the key, but it stays locked. There's like vines growing all over it and nobody goes in there anymore. And he thinks, you know, nobody wants to be a community like they used to. And he says, if one more person buys a Joja membership, I'm just going to sell this to the Joja Corporation. Which, you know, in game terms means if you go buy a Joja Cola membership, that kind of seals it. You can't go change your mind and do the community center from that point onward. But what happens from then on is basically the same thing. With the community center, you have to put items in, and these magical creatures... I can't remember what they're called.
Juminos. Like
these magical, like, Juminos that look like apples. They're like forest sprite things. Will repair the community center as you give them offerings. But on the Joja side, it's a warehouse and you just keep giving them money. And then, I mean, I guess it sort of does the same kind of thing, but I only played through the community center route. But it's that kind of thing where you're not really... I mean, the game really doesn't give you any reason to be loyal to this company. And in fact, it just seems like they do a lot of dirty stuff. And they're just a big business corporation.
That's what I found so interesting about this choice. Yeah, you say it's illusion choices because they do not give you... Yeah, they don't give you a reason to go to decide, oh, I would rather deal with Joja Corp. Because you can actually buy things from the local Joja store, Joja Mart.
Yeah, there's a Joja Mart.
And if you were to side with the Joja Mart in the end, the local store where you can also buy things like seeds and whatnot will close down.
Right.
That way you always have a place you can buy these materials for. But If you progress deeper into the community center option, the quote-unquote good option, you're rewarded with more things, new areas, sometimes literal gifts, stuff like that.
Right.
Whereas you don't really, you're not really rewarded or incentivized for any, in any way to choose Jojamart. So it seems pointless, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, they don't give you a reason to want to.
Right.
Other than just morbid curiosity.
Yeah, and it's not really a first playthrough kind of thing. Like, you have to kind of be familiar with the game before you even choose that route. And another thing I want to talk about is...
they don't even make them look like a good company. Like, you can literally, when you fish, when you go fishing, you can pull out a can of Joja-Cola.
Right.
And it's considered trash.
It's trash.
And, like, yeah, no everyone hates it. I think...
there's only one time when Harvey puts up on the bulletin board that he wants a Joja-Cola, but other than that, if you try to give someone a Joja, if you try to give someone this drink in the game, no one will take it.
Like, they're making such a blatant point to be like, hey, this is the unhappy, unenjoyable option.
This is the corporate, yeah.
But it's there if you want it.
So yeah, it's a shortcoming a lot of games have, where they pretend they're giving you an option, but they do kind of want you to go a certain way. But that's, I mean, that being said, the way they want you to go is sort of the point of the game. They want you to get involved with the community. They want you to enjoy farming life. I think I'm going to be really quiet on this, because I'm watching my levels.
Oh my, no, don't look at the levels.
Okay, okay.
Be loud. I want that, I want it like up here. You're cool.
No, I know. Okay, anyway, cut that out. so...
I have to leave it in now, because I'm laughing about it.
So getting involved really shows you there's a lot more content to this than you think. And I suppose there has to be, because if you were just farming all of your crops every day, then you're just playing Farmville.
Oh, hold on. I have very strong and negative opinions about Farmville.
I know, but what I'm saying is...
hey now, I love farming.
Each individual person...
in video games. I love farming in video games.
Oh, each individual person in this game...
I'm not a farmer.
...has their own story, and that's independent of you, which I am a huge fan of in video games. I think one of the only ones I can think of off the top of my head that does the same thing is in Dragon Age 2, your companions have lives independent of yours. And I just really, really like that about a video game. And in this one... I mean, you can choose somebody to marry and to date and whatnot, but if you don't, they generally end up with someone else. So,
do they actually?
Yeah, so Sam, I mean, you can kind of tell when you go to the flower dance.
Oh,
each
yeah,
pairing
that's fair.
Is what would happen if you did not get involved. Which makes me feel a little weird about Harvey and Maru. Because I feel like Harvey is at the older end of the spectrum of people you can date, and Maru is at the younger end.
For people who aren't too familiar, Harvey owns the local clinic. Like, he's a doctor, I think.
Yeah.
Maru is the child of the local carpenter slash scientist family.
Yeah.
She's a carpenter. Dad's a scientist. She works at the clinic as a nurse. So, like, this is a doctor, an older man doctor, like... I don't want to say seducing, but being romantically involved with their young, like, nurse client, not client.
Yeah, but I will say that as far as relationships in this game go, that's the one I probably like that has the least amount of overt problems.
Can I tell you about the farm life relationship that always weirded me out the most?
Which one?
So, Harvest Moon, which... I'm sure someone expected us to bring up because there's a lot of parallels between that game and this game.
Yeah, that was going
to
be
Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, originally for the GameCube, also came to PlayStation 2 and is also ported onto the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
In it, you have three options to marry: farm girl, loner girl, and...
you were trying really hard not to say Sundir.
I was. You caught me. I didn't want to say it, basically, yes.
Yeah.
And then you've got the pretty-looking, wouldn't-touch-dirt-in-her-life girl. Well, in the special edition that they released for PlayStation 2, they added another option, which was the local wealthy girl. And that bothered me, because in the regular game for GameCube, the one I had, you interact with her as if she was a child, because she's a child.
Yeah.
You see. It's like interacting with a 12-year-old. Oh. I don't want to. I helped her play the piano. So then it's like, oh, in this game, you can marry her. I'm like...
don't yell at our listeners.
I'm yelling at... I don't even remember her name.
Aww.
They could have just made the architect. What's the person who digs up dinosaurs? Archaeologist.
Archaeologist.
They could have made the archaeologist's assistant, Flora. She was around your age. She was single. She's attractive. But
we are talking about Stardew Valley in this episode.
I don't want to date a child.
But yeah, it is a little bit uncomfortable. And so I kind of stayed away from that area in general. The one I have a big issue with is I don't know if this eventually turns into something, but there's the blacksmith named Clint.
Ah, yes.
And he's not romanceable, and he's very depressed. I mean, it's just not fun interacting with him ever, which I'm not saying...
Would you say he's hit rock bottom?
Oh, my God. I'm not saying it's a bad time hanging out with people with depression, but as far as Clint is concerned, he hates everything about his situation, but he's not going to do anything to change it. He just wants to complain about it. And the one thing he does outside of work is he goes to the bar every day at, I think, 7 o'clock. And there is a girl who works at the bar with Gus.
That's right.
Her name is Emily.
Very spiritual.
She's very spiritual, kind of hippie vibes. She's very fun and adorable. And Clint is extremely focused on her in a stalkerish way. He goes to the bar every day at 7, doesn't talk to her, but will stand at a table and just stare at her. And if you get to at least 8 hearts with Emily, each relationship is based on how many hearts you can get with a person.
You know, you raise it by talking to them, giving them gifts,
yeah,
interacting with special cutscenes.
If you get to 8 hearts, Clint will assume that something is going on between you, even if you don't plan to have anything go on, and he will leave Emily alone. And so I kind of make it a point to get to that level with her, even if I don't plan to do anything, because I just don't want him going after her.
So you're just like, you're just doing it as like a pal, like, I'm looking out for you, girl.
Right, and like that's something I like about this game, is you do get really involved with the stories of the townspeople. And Marnie and Mayor Lewis are another one. They have like a relationship on the down low, but I don't think Mayor Lewis will ever pull the trigger on it. And I need to try and get to better friends with both of them so I can see if I can meddle with that.
Speaking of being your friend, now the word from our sponsor.
Okay.
What is Georgia Cola? Is it community? Is it reliability? Georgia Corp is there for you. Georgia Corp is your family. Don't you love your family? Drink Georgia Cola. Georgia Cola is not approved by the FDA. Side effects of Georgia Cola include nausea, upset stomach, blurred vision, the consumption, cataracts, and athlete's foot. Georgia Cola is known to cause cancer in the state of California. Okay, so where were we?
All of this to say
before I lose this thought, like, God, I'm so bad with names. Blacksmith dude, creepy.
Clint.
He's kind of got that neck beard nice guy vibe.
He thinks that he deserves to be with her,
and like, even though all he does is kind of sit there and do nothing,
yeah,
but he gets real hung up about it. That's the kind of vibe that I would get from him.
He gets upset when he thinks that he's lost Emily, even when nothing particularly romantic has happened. He just sees the two of you together and gets upset and storms off, and it is very much sort of a guilt trip situation, and it's really bad. But that's, you know, what I'm saying with this whole point is I went into this game thinking it was going to be a farm simulator, and then I got super involved with each of the characters. Like, I went in thinking I was going to grow parsnips, and then suddenly I wanted the local grump to become a chicken farmer, because that was his dream. He wanted to be a chicken farmer.
I find this funny, because I never knew about this, because I always got sick of his shit. Because he's so rude. He's just like, oh, what are you talking
about?
He's
another one that's like,
I just want to be here and drink.
He's depressed, but he's
kind of like bitter solitude kind of depressed.
Yeah, he would rather just kind of be left to himself. He doesn't want to talk to people. But
coincidentally
enough,
he works at Jojo Mart.
He does work at Jojo Mart, which is probably why he's depressed and angry. They probably keep him down for that specific reason. But you do get very, very involved with these people. And that is kind of what drives the game for you. And with the simple nature of how things shake out, you can kind of feel like you're doing your own story. And that is the RPG aspect, is like, I'm going to, and right down to the stuff you specialize in. Am I making most of my money off fishing? Am I making most of my money off of crops? And then you can kind of determine from there who you're interacting with, what you like, you know, that kind of thing. And it's really fun to kind of build that character and that story for yourself and simulate living in a small town, owning a farm and all of that stuff. It is very, very, I would say, rewarding. For a lot of the time, you get those returns, you get those friendships, and people give you stuff for being friends with them.
Except your version of creating your own story is terrorizing the local doctor.
Okay, all right. Are we good?
Yes,
do
we're
this?
Getting. Tell the people about your terror.
So, initially, I didn't know what I was doing. So I was just running around doing whatever I could. And one aspect of the game is people have bulletins they put up, they have help wanted things. And Harvey was one of the people I was initially flirting with a lot, the doctor guy. And he had posted that he needed seaweed. And since this was at a point in the game where I was barely getting anything done, I was like, I have seaweed, I can give this to him, he will pay me, it will be great. Except that when I went to go see him with the seaweed, his clinic was closed. And I was like, dang it. So you usually have 2 days to complete the request, the same day that you get it and the day after. So I said, you know, I was like, dang it, I need to go make sure I get here early the next day. Except that the next day was Saturday, and Harvey's clinic is not open on Saturdays. And they won't, unless you're good enough friends with the person in the house, they generally don't let you in to either their bedroom or the house in general. I could not get in there. I could not find him. He never left his house in the clinic. So I kind of had this fiction going of, you know, I stood outside of his house yelling at the screen of my computer, and Brandon was there with me, and we were talking about how I could just be like throwing seaweed at
you're just this crazed woman throwing soggy, slimy plant life at this man's window. But what sold it for me was the fact that I think it might have been the second day we watched him walk into his house. You were out of range, but you could see him on the edge of the screen.
Oh, yeah.
And you walked by and you saw him going into his house. You're like, oh no, come back. I have your seaweed. He goes inside. You go to the door and it was locked.
And I was just yelling at him
at
that point.
You just barely missed him.
Ah, it was so bad. And that wasn't the end of my terror. Like, I was doing weird. You do weird stuff in this game.
You got a little crazy at this point. You stalked him. You gave him seaweed anyway, even though he didn't want it anymore.
Yeah. I made him take the seaweed. He did not appreciate it at that point.
You were the crazy lady that stalked the local doctor.
I didn't have anything. I eventually ended up marrying Sebastian. And when I was still trying to court him, quote unquote, I didn't have anything he wanted, because all the stuff he wanted was super rare and way deep in the mines. The one thing he liked was quartz.
Mm-hmm.
And so every chance I could, I was just giving him quartz. And so I just imagined he's got this like pile of quartz sitting in his room. And I would just pop in like every couple of days, give him a rock, and then leave in his room. And I'm sure like his mother was he's the son of Robin, the carpenter. I'm sure there was a lot of weird looks. Like, what are you doing?
Make this full circle. Maru, the nurse girl that we said was weird about Harvey the doctor. Maru is Sebastian's
half-sister.
Half-sister.
So that's my adventures being the weird one in the Stardew Valley universe.
So now there is a man with both a fear of leaving his home and a fear of seaweed.
Yeah.
And a young man with a basement full of quartz.
And that's like not where it...
because of you.
That's not where it ended. If any of you have ever seen Steven Universe, which I think a fair few of you might have, there's a character named Onion who like never speaks, and I just... every time he's on screen, I lose my mind, because he's just so weird for like inexplicable reasons. He's just the weirdest, weirdest, weirdest character on any television show in the world. And we had eventually come to the conclusion that I am the Onion of Pelican Town.
You are. You never speak. You do weird thing that's terrorizing the town, but everyone loves you for some reason.
Sprint by with an armful of slime. Yeah. Yep. So,
people see you crawling into these local sewers holding, like, gold or something.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, an important criticism of the game is, like I said, there's no tutorials, and everything you sort of have to find out for yourself, and so...
And I find that's a hard problem with games like this, is that the more you have feature-wise in a game, the harder it's going to be to introduce it all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why sandbox games like, you know, Minecraft or Rust or all that, they didn't have tutorials because there's no direction you were supposed to go. There's
right.
so much you can do. If they were to try to tutorialize it, you'd hate it because you'd be spending an hour just going, God, right. yes, just let me play the game. And this game uses achievements, challenges, whatever they're called, quests. You can get achievements and whatnot in the game, and like those are kind of used to encourage you to do things.
Yeah.
And like that's kind of used,
like,
but
make friends, catch fish, grow crops, that kind of achievement thing.
But the problem is there's just too many details, like in the deep end of things. For example, like where to get quartz or what fish can be found in what areas, what season. It tells you what season the plants are in.
Specifically, one of the things...
How grass grows.
One of the reasons I lived on the Stardew Wiki was each person has their particular likes and dislikes as far as gifts. And if you want to be their good friend, you have to give them the correct gifts, which is an extremely trial and error based process unless you go to the wiki.
And like that wouldn't be too much of a problem if it wasn't for the fact that you can only give people 2 gifts a week, I believe.
Right.
Because, like, in Harvest Moon games, it was once a day. That makes sense. But mm-hmm. then, you know, Sebastian's quartz problem would have been a lot worse in that case.
Right, because he didn't like anything. He did not. There were so few things he liked.
You would have bumped his 2 a week, you know, quartz paycheck up to 7.
I would have been at negative hearts.
That's because he would be dead, smothered by the quartz.
Yeah.
But that's, and, like, it's hard finding a solution. And so far, not many people have found a fluid one.
Right.
But considering this is like just a, this was a side project made by like, at least started, I don't know if he did everything, by one guy.
Yeah.
So the fact that it did as well as it did with integrating all of these different game mechanics and aspects without being that overwhelming, I think was a good thing in the end. I mean, if there was a better idea, I don't know what it would be.
I mean, you're right in that it...
Maybe
it,
a book? Is there books in the library that tell you how to play?
I have no idea.
See, no one's going to want to read it, though.
Oh, well, yeah, okay. Do you mean in the fake library in the game?
Yes.
Yes.
Not like the local library.
That's what I thought you were asking me. I thought you'd go to the library. I was like, well, who's going to do that? There's a Stardew Valley manual. Anyway, so, yeah, the library / museum, you have to collect the items for that. So it's basically just digging in the ground and opening geodes and stuff.
But there isn't just like an already tutorial book existing?
No. What? You collect books and it will give you some tips and hints. The other thing is also probably the TV channels.
Oh, right.
One of the channels is Living Off the Land, which is not on daily, but it will give you tips as far as farming.
You know what no farming simulator game has done so far that I just wish it would?
What?
I wish when you watched TV, time would pass.
Oh.
Because I can't tell you how many times, and like again, Harvest Moon, A Wonderful Life, and an example. You don't wake up at a set time. You wake up so many hours after you go to bed.
You do in Stardew Valley. You
exactly.
wake up at 6 a.m. every morning.
Like, this one is uncommon. Most of them just, you wake up at a normal time. But like, if I'm done with my work at like 5 o'clock, I don't want to go to bed at 6 o'clock and then wake up at 2.
Yeah.
So I would love to just pass time until bedtime, except I don't know what to do other than just stand around. I was like, I would love to just watch TV, learn a bit about the game while also passing time.
True. I like, this isn't necessarily the same thing, but in Animal Crossing, time does pass when you watch TV.
I mean, yeah, but you can't actually watch the
TV. I was watching the TV.
It's just cool little... Do we have Animal Crossing on our list of games to talk about?
I don't think we do.
Because we should probably... Yeah, we should. That is something we both have opinions of.
I liked the TV aspect of Stardew Valley because, like, you know, I said there's Living Off the Land. Sometimes there was, my favorite one was Queen of Sauce, which is the cooking channel. And you would actually learn recipes from that you could then later make, which was nice. And one of the channels is the Weather Channel. So if you're intending to do certain things the next day, or some of the fish are dependent on whether it's raining.
That's the one I care about most.
Yeah. And so you can see if it's going to be raining the next day or not. And then the fourth channel, that's the weather channel is there daily. And this last channel is there daily. And it is the fortune teller channel.
Oh, right.
And I did not understand the purpose of it. I thought, you know, if it's here daily, it can't just be a silly thing. Like, there's got to be some kind of weird mechanic for this. And there was. And I had to look it up, but apparently luck is a thing with this game. So whether, like, if you're down in the mines, whether or not you find a way down to the next level, how quickly you do that is dependent on luck. Fish you catch, dependent on luck. A lot of this, a lot of things that are not, you know,
random chance.
A lot of chance things, not necessarily farming, because that's not very chance. I mean, I guess pulling out gold star plants, but not really.
Okay, and that's a fertilizing base. You can pad the numbers in your favor. I do think you have mining, fishing,
monster loot drops.
Loot drops.
And that stuff is dependent on luck. So the fortune teller every day, if you go and check that, will tell you the spirits are in a bad mood. They will do their best to make things bad for you. Means you're not going to have a good luck day, so don't do anything dangerous. And then sometimes she says, the spirits are neutral, the day is yours. Which means, I don't know what that means, but...
Well, spirits got their own thing going on. They can't. Yeah. They cannot dedicate every day to messing with you.
But it's
they have
not,
obligations.
It's not the biggest difference from day to day, but it is something... Like, it was something I thought about a lot when I was going to the mines out in the desert, which are super, super dangerous, and it's really hard to get all the way down them. And the more luck you have, the easier time you have of going down each level in the mine.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would have that much of an impact, though, to be honest.
It is.
Oh, critical hit chance when attacking monsters probably also
yes,
luck
that
based.
Increases as well.
That's a common game thing.
But it is, I mean, I don't know how quantifiable it is, but it is one of the mechanics of this game.
I'm trying to think how I should start it. You fished a lot more than I have.
I fished a lot. That was my main money making. Even when I was doing my first playthrough was my exploratory playthrough. Usually when I start...
Just finding yourself.
Well, yeah, when I start a new game, I can't usually establish a character because I don't know how anything works and it ends up changing by the end anyway. So I farmed a lot, and then I got all of the things just to fill out the community center. So I wasn't intending to get a lot of livestock, but I had to. And a little shortcut you can take, if you want to call it a shortcut, if you don't want to buy a bunch of animals and stuff to fill up the community center, you can usually buy the products that you need from these things from special vendors. So the wagon that appears in the woods sometimes, or some of the like weird vendors you find around there, sometimes they have, but most particularly the wagon lady, they have the special items that you need.
And a huge markup.
A huge markup, but you won't have to buy the animal.
Yeah.
The housing.
Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for 200,000 freaking gold?
It's not quite that much. But the fishing, I found... Well, I initially was going to give up on it, but Brandon convinced me to continue with the fishing.
This game has a reputation for the... When you start fishing, it's the hardest.
It is.
Because you're not used to it, and also your gear sucks and your stats suck.
And the way you do it is there's a bar that in like a fish icon, and you have to keep that fish icon in this bar.
Which you do by holding down the mouse button or the A button, whatever you're playing it on.
Or letting go.
And it's like Flappy Bird, basically.
It is. It's a lot like that. And it's very, very difficult when you start out because your bar is so small. But if you can figure out how to time your clicks correctly and whatnot, it's actually really, really easy and a lot of fun and extremely lucrative because all you have to do is fish a bunch and you level up, I think, more quickly and easily in fishing than anything else. And when you level up in this fishing, on level 5 and I think level 8 or no, level 7, you get the option of either you can get more stuff out of fishing and crab pots and such, or you can make more money. And I always chose make more money. So by the end of it, I was a fishing empire. Like, it is so good. I get so much money.
So on your onion style list of weird things you do, walking to the beach with literally a pile of fish is one of them.
I have a lot of fish.
So One neat thing about this is there's actually going to be a multiplayer update coming soon.
Super excited about that.
And people have been asking for this for as long as the game's been out, which is like years. I can't recall how many. 3, maybe? Might be 5. Game's been out for a while now. And there's a multiplayer update coming soon, which is very interesting. A lot of people have always wanted farm sim-like games to have a multiplayer thing, because when it's such a casual and calm experience, you want to kind of play that with others and just share in that. And also, someone can take care of your chickens while you go do things you actually want to do. Do my chores for me.
I really want people to see my farm, because it's all so nice right now.
I think, have we pretty much got everything we wanted?
I think so. I will say one thing that frustrates me about this game, and there's not a lot that does. Like I said, I'm very charmed by this game. I've played I don't know how many hours.
That's because you also leave it running. So
I'm
pretty sure
Steam
lies about what you actually have.
I have played a lot.
She's not lying. I've seen her play it literally all day before.
Like, from the time I get up to the time I go to bed.
Granted, I did the same exact thing.
He was doing Monster Hunter that weekend, so it was fine. But the thing that frustrates me is, and this made me mad in Animal Crossing too, is there's no, they don't give you a lot of wiggle room as far as the friendships and relationships and stuff. So if you can really easily offend somebody and not be doing anything malicious. So I got married to Sebastian, but I still wanted to cultivate friendships with the other villagers.
AKA terrorize Harvey.
I was not terrorizing. It was Shane.
Not abolished. What's the word when you, like, gave someone the cold shoulder?
Oh, yeah.
Disregarded?
I don't know. I just kind of shut
him
down.
You shunned him.
I did. I was done with Harvey.
You emotionally exiled him.
But I wanted to hang out with Shane, who is the depressed guy who just wants to raise chickens and works at the Jojamart instead. And I wanted to hang out with him because I really wanted to get him to come out of his shell and, you know, have a friend and stuff like that. Except if you give... I don't know if it's if you do it with girls, because I don't recall, but if you give another guy gifts while you're married, your husband gets mad about it.
Well, specifically if you give other potential partners.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you went to... Is Clint a marryable option?
No.
Okay. If you went to, like, Clint or Pierre and you gave them stuff, you know, your husband's not going to care.
Well, it bothered me because, like... They don't register friendship. I guess they see it as you wanting to court this person, and that's not what I wanted.
Oh, yeah. How like life?
It frustrates me because, like, if it was just he gave me some sad comment, like, that upset me enough. He was like, I heard you gave a secret gift to Shane today. Do I need to be worried about him? And I was like, I was really upset about that for a minute. Because I was like, what is wrong with you? And then...
I gave him seaweed.
And I gave
purely
him coffee.
Purely platonic seaweed.
But he didn't like it. But, I mean, I only found that out because I went and talked to him after I did it. And I usually don't do that. But I do lose hearts for doing that.
It's a shame because, like, it does kind of punish you for wanting to be friends with literally everyone.
Yeah, so if you want to be friends with everybody, maybe do that before you get married. I think that's all I have to talk about.
I mean, I've got everything in there, too. Let me think. I'm forgetting anything.
I think that's that pretty much... talks about Stardew Valley.
That is
whatnot.
A thorough talking of. We've got enough time on the counter. It's actually getting close to when we would need to stop anyway. So
sure.
Before we go, a bit of, what's the word, house cleaning, they call it?
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Hey, everybody. Sorry for interrupting. This is future Brandon doing the edits for the show. You see, this being our first episode, we hadn't actually made any of the social media information yet. So we couldn't really talk about it just yet. So this is me doing that now from the future. So, the Cozy Co-op, you can find it on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you leave a review for us on iTunes, that'll help us a lot. It really helps the visibility. And if it's something we enjoyed reading, we might talk about it in the next episode. If you aren't interested in communicating via reviews, perhaps you already have done a review... Then other ways is you can follow us on Twitter, at Cozy Co-op Podcast, as well as on Facebook with the same name. You can also email us at cozycoop@lizardrock.com. We'll check that. Without any further ado, I'm going to send you back to past Brandon and Justine for them to close out the show. Initiate outro sequence that I didn't come up with yet.
Okay, that's it for us this week. Cozy up with us next week on the Cozy Co-op.
Outro music.